Over its lifetime, the Xbox One eventually gained backwards compatibility for some titles as far back as the Xbox One, the very first Xbox. But soon, Xbox One owners could gain the ability to play some Xbox Series S and X titles, presumably via Game Pass. PlayStation Now has, of course, provided similar features like this for many years already. This is likely a new majority trend of gaming. Now it's time for your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki, to tell you more about this and the rest of the week's news, starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, and we are back and live once again with episode number 873 of our show for June 20th, 2021. My name is Rob Roberts, and I'm joining you here every week with my co-hosts. First off, Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers, not here at the moment. She's going to come into the show a little bit later on, around 7 o'clock Pacific time. 10 o'clock Eastern, so we'll say hi to her a little later. But we do have joining us right off the top of the show, we have Loki joining us. Hi, Loki.
Hello. How's it going?
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Rushing around.
Yeah, I can see you're kind of running around there at the last minute before the show starts tonight.
Hold on. My fridge is still open.
Okay, I have no idea what's going on over there. That's fine. And, you know, it's the joy of doing live stuff because my headphones that I usually hear Loki on just decided they're not going to work tonight, so something's weird with my setup on how I listen to things. So that's another thing I've got to try to fix behind the scenes. Luckily, I can still hear him from the TV that's in the studio here, but it's a little harder to hear. I prefer the headphones, but that's just the joy of running and doing things live sometimes. Things happen. Oh, thank you. SJ100 Matt gave me the intel. His fridge is open. That's what he said. Thank you. The live chat, always here to save the day, because we do tape live every Sunday night. What's that?
I was gonna say I shut it really quickly because I was putting my dinner stuff away, and it's got like this weird latch on it. So if you shut it too fast, it stays open.
I see. That sounds complicated, but that's all right.
Important
all right,
news for everybody.
All right. Let's see. What else I want to say? So we do have our chat room because we do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. And Loki, I wanted to say as well, happy Father's Day. It is that day. And happy Father's Day to all the gamer dads out there and all my gamer daddies. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. I hope you all are having a wonderful day. And was your day full of Metroid I see playing behind you? I think that's Metroid Zero Mission specifically.
That's Metroid Fusion, actually.
Oh, my bad.
So, no, it was not playing Metroid at all. It was roller skating and grocery shopping.
I see.
And rushing to upload my video because for those who don't follow me on Twitter, Comcast decided to be Comcastic for the last 2 days, and so I haven't had internet for like a day and a half, just on the weekend too, which is great, perfect timing, because I had I stayed up till 2 a.m. to get my episode done, it's ready to upload it and buy internet. So that was fun. And the kids, you know, they don't like not having internet, they kind of bounce off the walls, so yeah, it was unfortunate. So I finally got that uploaded this afternoon. So my brand new episode with Tango Tech from Hermitcraft is up, which is amazing. I had a really great time with him last week. And it was very exciting to be able to cut that down once again. I listened back to it as I was editing it. And I don't like listening to... Well, this is going to be interesting going into Wednesday because I don't like listening back to myself as it is. And listening back to myself when I'm incredibly nervous made me incredibly nervous, so that was fun. But I did get to cut it down to make it seem like I'm less nervous than I actually was, which is good. But yeah, go check it out if you can. You know, hopefully people find it because, I mean, it's pretty amazing. And I know I've been watching a lot of Hermitcraft Season 8 that they just started. So, yeah.
Excellent.
I'm going to keep on going.
Excellent. I fixed my headphone problems while you were talking there. Thank you. S2100 Matt actually links that video there live in our chat room. I'm sure for those that are not listening live tonight, because, of course, we love all the podcast listeners as well. Hopefully you can get the link there. I'm sure that'll be in our Discord server. If it's not already,
Discord,
then it ought
to
be. Yeah. Speaking of things to check out, I do need to give this one cheap plug at the top of the show. I don't like to push the stuff to spend money on a lot, but, you know, some people ask, like, can I get a shirt that says Orange Lounge Radio on it? Yes, you can. We've actually done a really big update to our store. So if you haven't checked out the shop, check that out over at vognetwork.com/shop. And now not only can you get that cool little OLR Pixel logo, but Jamie went in there, made some new stuff. So there's a very like Sega-inspired Orange Lounge Radio type of shirt you can get. You can get a one-piece swimsuit if that's your thing. Loki, I'm sure you're very excited to hear that. You can get some stickers.
I'm very excited about that.
You can get some tumblers. You can get
You can get a fanny pack.
That's the hot merch. Somebody else is bringing that up earlier, so fanny packs are all the rage again. And then actually, speaking of Pixel logos, so we have some really cool, Dark Soccer did a new Orange Lounge Radio logo. She did a cool little retro kind of Vogue Network look that's pretty cool, so check that out. And then speaking of retro looks, Loki's Vogue Pixel art we talked about on the show a couple weeks ago, he just had to resend me the email and go, I sent this to you months ago, dummy. No, he didn't say that, but that's definitely what I heard. That's okay. He sent that, and
it's like my work, you know, where the tone of your email, there's no tone in the email, it's text. Well, I interpret it as you were angry.
Okay? Loki started off his email saying, per my prior email. No, I'm just kidding. He was totally fine. I'm just giving a shit. I feel like a dummy because you totally had sent that before, but things happen. But now the Vogue Pixel stuff is up on the show, up on the shop too. So yeah, there's a ton of stuff. In fact, I think we put so much stuff on there, we had to get rid of stuff. I don't think you can get the Vogue masks anymore. They might, if they're still there, it's not going to be for much longer because we kind of collaboratively decided those are the first things being pulled. I didn't care for the masks myself, but you know, I guess if some people wanted them, that's cool too. So, all right, there you go. She-Hulk in chat, thank you, saying push it. Yeah, so sell in the store. Yes, I will, and thank you very much for the biddies. Appreciate that. All right. Let's get it. Okay, Bobby says the masks are gone. Okay, that's what I thought, because I know there's like a ton of new stuff in there, and I know Bobby still wants to add a couple things too, so I know we want to make sure we have enough room for everybody's stuff. So, all right, check that out. Again, vognetwork.com/shop. Let's get to news. This was kind of the second half of E3 week. There were some, live, I can't always say press conferences, but that's not really what they are this year. They're kind of the presentations, direct presentations, whatever you want to call them. There was a few of them. Capcom had one, and it was extremely not notable. I'm sorry. Sorry if you're a Capcom fan, but I think everybody who watched that presentation kind of saw they didn't really give any new stuff, which is fine. I guess they kind of promoted it in other places, except they said, we're making DLC for Resident Evil 8 Village because it's so popular. Thank you. We hadn't started it yet, but we're going to get right on that. So there's
okay.
That. Yeah, it was interesting.
Cool.
Questbuster says, no, Rob's right. The Capcom one was pretty trash. I think there was a Bandai Namco one too, but again, I don't think it gave us anything really new. I think it was kind of just the stuff we already knew about, which I understand. These kind of presentations that come a little late, I don't want to give too much shit, because these presentations that come a little late kind of have to how is Bandai Namco going to one-up themselves after they put that Elden Ring trailer in the Summer Games Fest thing? Like, you know, it's, but, you know, maybe sometimes people hope like, oh, maybe we'll get gameplay or we'll get a B trailer.
Not necessarily.
Or something. Yeah, no, I guess none of that as well. So, yeah. Anyway, Bobby Blackwolf is pointing out the E3 2008, the small one that wasn't in Santa Monica, was the only Capcom presser I attended. There was no game news. It was just Avi Arad and some other people talking about how great the Lost Planet movie was going to be. I remember that one. Yeah. So sometimes these ones that are a little later, I mean, Konami always used to go late in the game too. And we saw how well that worked out for them a couple years in a row, right? So, yeah. So
it's going to be great because it only lives in my imagination.
Yeah. So most of the press events and stuff this week were not that exciting. Let's be real.
or already had news that had come out, you know, before last week's show. However, of course, Tuesday morning was the one that I think unarguably everyone was really waiting for and knew would be the biggest one, and that was the Nintendo Direct. So let's recap a little bit about the Nintendo Direct and folks' thoughts on that. So, Loki, I know you watched it. You actually watched it live. I had to watch it.
I did watch it.
I had to do the tape delay thing. I had to do the thing like when we watched the Grammys on the West Coast. It already aired on the East Coast, but we get the 3-hour tape delay. The only one of those shows they don't – actually, I never watched the Grammys. They're kind of garbage. But it was just the first award show that came to mind that wasn't the Oscars or the Super Bowl, because those are the two things that do air live on the West and East Coast at the same time. But most everything else you have to wait 3 hours for. So I had to watch the Nintendo Direct that way because I had meetings at work. Like, I couldn't get out of day job stuff. It's important.
Well, I had meetings too, but, you know, I just don't care.
I kind of had to lead mine, so.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I had a meeting at the same time. It was about, like, it was about being motivated to, like, to be more organized and stuff, and it was just a big old waste of time. So I popped this on instead. It was way more interesting.
Love that you had a meeting about work motivation, and you're sitting there watching this Nintendo thing. It's cracks me up. I actually waited until I had an appropriate break, like an hour and a half later, and then I was like, okay, I can probably watch this 40-minute presentation in 30 minutes. Because I'll just fast forward all the game footage about things that I'm just like, all right, I don't really need to see it. So, I would say I actually didn't do that as much as you'd think. I probably got through it in about 35 minutes. So, I really enjoyed it, Loki. What were your thoughts overall?
I thought it was pretty good. Like with most things, I think it did have a lot of stuff in there that people were looking for and some surprise stuff that I was looking for. Still a few things missing that, you know, kind of would have liked some updates on, you know, like Bayonetta 3 and Prime 4 and stuff like that.
Yep.
But, I mean, there was a lot of meat there, so it was still pretty good.
Yeah.
So going through...
Well, but before you get to that, I think I kind of agree with you is that, overall, I was very positive on it. And for me, you know, I kind of have like my wish list, things that if Nintendo would announce would make me extremely happy. And I got two things on my wish list this year from Nintendo, and that hardly ever happens. And I know we want to run down everything that happens, but I think the obvious things to bring to the table, there's a brand new 2D Metroid game. Y'all know that's my jam. Well, it's kind of new. Like, I didn't even pick up on this at first.
Because I recognize the name, so that's been in, like, development for a while, or at least rumored for a while.
Yeah. So, the Metroid Dread was originally, I think, going to be the DS. I think they were developing it alongside Fusion, and it was right at that time, like, the Advance and the DS were kind of both. So Fusion came out on the Advance, and then Dread kind of didn't. And it's like Metroid Other M kind of happened instead. So we never really got Dread at that time. And I didn't piece together at first, oh, it's that game. But obviously, you know, here we are like 14 years later. It's still Metroid Dread, and maybe some of the original story ideas are there. But obviously the game is completely different now that it's on the Switch. It's not pixels. It's kind of got a different look to it. But obviously I'm here.
Wish
I'm here
it
for
was
it.
Pixels, to be honest. I mean, I kind of wish it was in the style of, like, say, the modern Rayman games and stuff like that, where it's hand-drawn. That would have been so good, but this is all right.
Yeah, I would have been thrilled if it was more a pixel-looking game, but I'm okay. I understand. They want to evolve it. You know, they're pushing it a different direction. So, like, even I remember because I was writing out, like, in my Apple Notes as I was watching it instead of live tweeting, I was kind of like, oh, this is a different look. It's going to take me some getting used to. But you know what? As long as the game's fluid, it's going to be fine. And I'm just thrilled we get a new Metroid in the series. Now, Tiger Claw in chat over twitch.tv/VogNetwork says this new 2D Metroid game is supposedly the final one for Samus. If it sells really well, I'm sure they will find a way to do another one. Or there must be some other character they're going to push it off to in the story of the game or something. I don't know. Obviously, Metroid Prime 4, we know it's still happening. So, Loki, you said they didn't do an update. They kind of did. They didn't. I know what you meant, though. You wanted to see more footage or, like, what the hell does this thing look like? But
some
they
footage,
did.
Any footage, you know.
They did say, we're working on it. We can't talk about it today, but we hope you'll take this instead. And for me, I'm happy to take that instead this year.
Yeah.
So, I'm fine if they need a little more time on Metroid Prime 4. So yeah, Questbuster in chat says it's for the Samus Metroid arc, I thought, but not the end of Samus. Yeah, I just don't see them like actually having it be the last Samus game. They could kill Samus at the end of this game and still not be done with her. And, you know, obviously, I don't know spoilers or story or anything like that. None of us have played the game yet. But, you know, it's just like the Alien franchise in Ripley, okay? You kill Samus, but then, like, she'll come back as a clone or something like that. Like, she's not going to be done. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There'll be Samus X, like Mega Man. It'll be Samus X, right? Exactly. So, yeah, SG100 Matt says, in fact, there are no actual Metroids in this, apparently. I don't know if I believe that. I know what they're saying. I don't know if I believe it. I think it's one of those things where they'll surprise us in the very last level. But, okay, let's not set our expectations too high. But I'm just really happy to get a new 2D Metroid and see where they go with it. But I'm not sure I believe that there's no Metroids in it. Sorry. I just kind of, like... I think you're lying, but we'll see. And then the other one, and Loki, I know you got to be thrilled with this one too. The new WarioWare announcement. Like,
yeah, I bet that's fantastic.
And for all intents and purposes, that really came out of nowhere. Like, I know there was some rumors about it, but a lot of things were rumored this year that didn't happen. Like a new model for the Switch. So, you know, obviously, you know, anything can and will happen. I'm very thrilled that the new WarioWare ended up being a thing. I think it's interesting that they talked about it being the first WarioWare with co-op when it's not.
Yeah, I don't think
WarioWare
on the
it's not. WarioWare on the GameCube had co-op. So that was a little, maybe they didn't say the first, but they kind of made it sound like now there's co-op. And it's like, well, you had that in the GameCube version. It was, I think, very certain modes and very limited in that game, but it existed before. I think the actual games themselves were I think they were still for one player, but you still played them. Like, I think that's the difference, is that in this new one, you actually have games that are playable with two people at once. And I don't think the GameCube version had that. I can't remember. So there is that. Hi, joining us here a little early, but that's okay. We love to see her. Hi there, Dark Sakura. I see you just joined us. Hi.
Yeah, I woke up.
Well, good morning.
I have string cheese.
Yummy. Hey, we just talked about the new Metroid, and I know you have to have some feelings on that. What are your thoughts when seeing the Metroid Dread announcement?
Give. Now.
What do you think about the whole there are no Metroids in this game? I said that's bull. That they're lying. That they're trying to keep it a secret or something.
I honestly don't care about there being no Metroids in it because I saw Chozo and that makes me happy.
Okay. Oh, there are other pieces of Metroid lore for us to be in love with.
I certainly want more of the Chozo in it because, I mean, the only real story that any of us got for the Chozo was in the manga, as I recall correctly.
If you want to discount like hints in Super Metroid, because I would say
real lore.
I totally know what you mean. But like, you know, In Super Metroid, they kind of became more than just the statue. Like it was very clear there was more to them. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
Well, right.
Yeah, yeah.
But so. The manga, if I recall correctly, I think it came out either before or around Super Metroid.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to look that back up. But I'm glad that we're seeing some of them. I almost wonder if this is some kind of prequel.
I don't think it's intended to be because you still have Prime is serving as the prequels, I think. But anything's possible, really.
Or like a pre-Metroid story.
Perhaps. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says they're already making strats based on the trailer, and I think he's referencing this comment from Tiger Claw. Can't wait to see speedrunners take on this game and beat it under an hour. I love that. They're already strategizing based on the trailer. Amazing. So, Yeah. Yeah, Sacred Jade in chat says, I thought this was a sequel to Fusion. I think it is supposed to be like Metroid 5. If you consider Metroid/Metroid Zero, Super Metroid, Metroid Fusion, I guess Other M, or am I missing one? No, of course I'm missing one. Samus 2 on the Game Boy, Return of Samus. They don't count Other M. Sorry, I skipped one. So it's Metroid, Return of Samus, then Super Metroid, then Fusion. Now this is 5, Metroid Dread. So Other M has been thrown out of the canon. So much for that. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Well, all right.
Everyone has a few things they're embarrassed about in their history.
I didn't think Other M was as bad as everyone else does. Like, it's definitely different. She's different. Like, that's my review of Metroid Other M. She's different.
Yeah. All right. Not as different as Federation Force, but, you know.
Oh.
That's one we'd like to forget.
Loki, we don't talk about Federation Force. We just, she passed away. Like, we don't talk about that one anymore, okay? All right. Let's see. So other stuff in the Nintendo Direct. So we've got Metroid out of the way. We got Samus out of the way. Oh, I should mention this. The Breath of the Wild 2 footage. So I have been an insufferable bitch on this show saying that if Nintendo doesn't show Breath of the Wild 2 footage, they're doing the fans a disservice. And y'all in chat, especially Bobby Blackwolf, have been saying no person in the history of ever has not like pre-ordered or bought the game because they didn't show footage at a certain event. And I was like, I don't care. Your facts are inconvenient and I reject them. And my point is that Nintendo is disrespecting their fans by continuing to not give a Breath of the Wild 2 update. They need to give us at least a little something, a little piece, a little taste. Just let me lick the wall just once. Okay. And I think they did that. I know some people are kind of disappointed with what little of Breath of the Wild 2 they showed. I will surprise you all and actually defend it and say that was what I was talking about. That was fine. That was needed. That was all the update we needed. We're good.
Yeah, I think it was fine. It looked great.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Dark Tetsuya in chat says, it was a brief tease, but I went away happy. Can't wait to see what they do with the dual areas. Absolutely. Especially, are we getting the upside down castle in Breath of the Wild 2? Because that's kind of cool. Questbuster in chat says, I'm pretty excited on seeing what they had for Breath of the Wild 2. Did you notice those parallels to Skyward Sword? I sure did. Because like that whole little blip started with like Link falling through the sky, just like a scene in Skyward Sword. And I'm laughing because I saw the most hilarious edit where somebody took that Link flying through the air thing and they photoshopped that instead of wearing pants, he's wearing a jock strap. So his ass is hanging out as he's flying through the air. And I'm sorry, I'm immature and I thought it was really fucking funny. So there's that. But the Breath of the Wild footage was fun.
And well, it was also weird too to show that, because they show that like right after the Skyward Sword HD remaster thing. So it's like, these are similar. I mean,
now,
I don't know.
The way they set that whole segment up was a little bit of a misstep, because they were like, and here is the last game we have to talk about today. And it went into Hyrule Warriors DLC. And I was like sitting there going, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, and fuck you for doing the Hyrule Warriors last. But then it kind of went into, then Animura showed up and was like, let's talk about Zelda. And I was like, oh, okay, we're cool. Oh, you're talking Zelda, the whole part, the whole piece, the whole story. Is the last game of the day, and I calmed down. And so they did, of course, the Skyward Sword, Breath of the Wild 2, and that little Game & Watch thing, which is interesting.
Yeah, that one's actually pretty cool, because at least has three games on it.
Yeah, and I like that more than the Mario one, I think.
Yeah.
I think because the Mario games, how do I say this nicely? The Mario is kind of played out at this point, and like obviously Super Mario Brothers is an epic, epic game. But how many times and how many places do you need the original Super Mario Brothers to be played? I feel like there's going to be a version that comes out for refrigerators soon. That is like how many places that shows up. But the original Legend of Zelda, and especially like Zelda 2 Adventures of Link, the Game Boy one too, those are some deeper cuts. And I think that's nice to see those, you know, on the little Game & Watch. I think the little clock thing looks cute, the way that you can play it. So I'm more interested in the Zelda one than I was the Mario one. I will say that.
So what are you going to do when they release the Metroid Game & Watch next year?
Shove it right in my ass, Loki.
I can see them doing like a Metroid, the Game Boy Metroid Returns, and then just for, you know, the hell of it, maybe throw in Kid Icarus or something like that.
Well, now you're just like throwing fanboy options out there. Like, yeah, right, Kid Icarus. Like, Nintendo's going to acknowledge that franchise again. First off, Sakurai is going to have to take a nap before we can even think about a new Kid Icarus game. And I don't know. I don't know what's up with that. So, yeah. I would love that, though. Don't get me wrong. Like, a Metroid Kid Icarus Game & Watch. Like, a Password Pack Game & Watch. I'm all about that. That would be amazing. With that silver color. So, all right. Anyway. Bobby says I'm on a butt kick today. I said two things. Come on. What was I supposed to say to that? Imagine they release your favorite game on a Game & Watch. What are you going to do? Of course I'm going to buy it. If I can get one, that is.
The funny thing is that I'm in
Mario ones. They're still around.
I'm in so many other streamers groups that I have plenty of butt icons to satisfy anybody.
Well, you're very kind and generous with a lot of the Dead by Daylight streamers. I see you sub to a lot of them, so, and a lot of them have some nasty icons. So I don't know. So some of those, I'm like, how did that get through moderation? So I'm
having to be a little bit more judicious with who I sub to.
I understand.
It's okay to have an occasional butt show up, you know.
it's just a butt. Everybody has one. Gosh. Anyway, Darsakra, I have to ask you your thoughts on what little we saw, the little tease for Breath of the Wild 2 and the Zelda stuff.
I'm exactly the same feelings as I was before. I'm looking forward to it coming out. This didn't really show me anything else. Zelda fell down a hole. We'll see.
All right. Loki, why don't you walk us through some of the other things that they mentioned with the Nintendo Direct?
Yeah, so actually kind of going back to the... even though you didn't like it, the Zelda Hyrule Warriors DLC looked actually pretty cool, where you can actually play as the Guardians and stuff. So my son's excited about that, at least. Other things that they talked about, they have a new Mario Party Superstars coming out. That's going to be a collection of the minigames. I think they did something similar already, but I guess it's now more.
It's like the greatest hits album.
Yeah, but they did that, though, with like the... It was like Mario Party Gold or something like that. I thought that came out already.
I think the big thing about this one is that it's all online now, because, you know, they finally figured out that people can play Mario Party online to do that.
They figured it out online finally. That's good. They talked about the new DLC character for Smash Brothers, which is going to be Kazuya Mishima from Tekken. So that's cool. We got all these fighting games kind of mixed together. We're almost to Urgites. Almost.
Apparently Heihachi is, though, part of the level. The temple level.
Yeah. That's cool.
What else? We got confirmation that Guardians of the Galaxy was also coming to the Switch, as well as some other Switch games that we kind of figured were also coming. So 2 Point Campus, Just Dance 2022, Worms Rumble, Dragon Ball Z, Kakarot, and New Power Awakens Part 1 and 2. So that's a long title. A new Super Monkey Ball, Banana Mania. That's going to be a collection that's coming as well. Shin Megami Tensei 5. And what else? New collection of Danganronpa games.
What?
Yep. It's Danganronpa Decadence. It's Trigger Happy Havoc, Danganronpa 2, V3, and the new, I guess, Danganronpa S Ultimate Summer Camp.
Yay.
We've got a 3D Advance Wars remake. So that was kind of cool.
Oh, yeah. That was very unexpected, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I was not expecting an Advance Wars remake. I'm not complaining. It's not a series I super got into, but I know it is loved. I know people really appreciate that. Yeah, I'm excited to see it.
And then what else? Oh, Fatal Frame is also coming. So Fatal Frame Maiden of Black Water.
Mm-hmm. That was kind of a surprise as well. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I think Nintendo had a great Direct. I really do. You know, it wasn't like my face melted off. It was so amazing, but I walked out.
That's still good.
I still, quote unquote, walked out of it going, okay, like, I see what games I'm going to be playing this holiday, and I'm going to have fun with it. And that's, video games should be fun. Yay. So I was above, more than satisfied. We'll say that. All right, so there's the Nintendo Direct recap. Before we close the book on E3, Loki, am I missing anything else with the show itself that, like, isn't coming up later in our show? Well, something that needs to be brought up? I think we touched on everything, but I'm worried I missed something.
If there's something, then I missed it too, because I don't The E3 is hard because there's a ton of announcements and they're all over the place. So
I guess we have to. Should we say something about that Intellivision presentation? I didn't watch it, but I kind of read about it. So
I watched it.
I still have a system pre-ordered. I ordered them when they first came out. I think it's. I think the direction the system is taking is interesting. They're really going to need the games to back it up, and I think they're really going to need to show solid games that aren't just like, oh, I could do this on my cell phone. They kind of have that opportunity with, like, say, like, you know, Earthworm Jim. I think the whole, even though that series has its own issues, but I'm not going to go there. But the Echo the Dolphin thing was a lot more exciting. Not that series itself, but the creators are making, like, a new game. I think that – now, that's the kind of stuff where I'm like, okay, and television could have a very interesting niche there if they get some of these, like, retro developers to come back and do, like, a new thing. I think that could be very – because, you know, a lot of retro developers are kind of – I think we were talking a little bit about this with the Ken and Roberta Williams story last week or the week before. It was that it's harder to develop a game now with, you know, one person or a small team than it was back in the day. But I think Intellivision kind of opens up that possibility again a little bit because of the rules for its system. It almost lends itself better to small dev teams. So I wonder if they're going to attract some of the retro devs a little more often. I think that could be interesting. Questbuster in chat says the Amico presentation was neat. Tallarico really emphasized that they weren't in competition with the big three. They just want to be another fun option in addition to those. And that's absolutely the right path to take. But gaming, there's so much gaming that is outside just the big three. I mean, hello, cell phones is huge. But even now, you know, between arcade one-up cabinets and little mini cabinets like that Street Fighter one that Alan brought me in the middle of the show last week, you know, there's other ways to kind of check games out that aren't just like your traditional kind of system as well. Games are baked into TVs now. You know, it's the cloud gaming. You know, it's gaming's kind of going beyond just the big three. So I think it's very very interesting. SSJ100 Matt says, put pixel poops on Amico, Tommy. I've been saying to YYR, he needs to, I think, I don't know. I feel like he might have at least tried to, like, send an email. I don't know if the email got anywhere, but I know, like, I think YYR's games, not just pixel poops, but the types of games he develops, like super multitasking, like Amico would be such a good platform for that. So
yeah, I'd be curious to see, like, what's involved with developing for that. Like, I don't know what frameworks and stuff that it's supported on there. I don't really know what the Intellivision Amico can do and like hardware wise. So like, how do I develop for that? So I would love information on that, but I mean, they have an email address. That's about it.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says pixel poops wouldn't go on the Amico because of the subject matter. Other YYR games might. I have the fix for you. Here you go. Because they're little brown piles. You're just going to call them pixel dumps. And that's what it's pixel dumps. And you're just going to, and you change the taco stand to a pixel store and you're just dumping pixels on the ground. That's there you go. I see. I made YYR's game Christian friendly. How about that? Pixel Paca says you could make it ice cream. Oh my God. It would be like the sweat on Mortal Kombat. So now, oh my God, instead of little brown piles on the ground, it would just be little pink piles and it's strawberry ice cream. And then the little taco cabana turns into ice cream cabana.
Ice cream snort, yeah.
There you go. Done. Oh my God. YYR, not to give you more work, but like Pixel Poops now needs a strawberry code. Where like if you put down, right, up, left, YB, it changes it to strawberry ice cream. Orange Right says people will be searching for the poop code. All right, anyway, let's move on. But please check it. If you are newer to Orange Lounge Radio and you don't understand why we're obsessed with pixel poops, it's actually a game that Jamie created and we take credit for. But Jamie's kind of said this on the show once. You know, we have this list of dream games that's on our wiki. And she threw out that idea. And then YYR, one of our listeners / fave game developers, ran with it, actually put out a game called Pixel Poops. And then, like, if that wasn't enough, then Loki was like, hey, I'm going to make a Pixel Poops game on the NES. You know, I've been teasing making a game for literally 6 years on the show. And then he releases Pixel Poops 2 on the NES Maker, and it's available on itch.io. and Steam. So,
which I do need to update that to the special editions because there's stuff, you know, more levels and everything.
Yeah,
and more characters and other things. I just haven't quite trying to combine that with uploading YouTube stuff every week or trying to do it every week is that's tough, but I still want to do that because I have cartridges and I've got labels now.
I can't wait.
So physical editions. Yeah.
I can't wait. That's going to be the must have OLR collector's item. That's for sure. All right. Let's move on and get into our gaming weeks and the types of video games that we have been playing this week, whether it's pixel dumps or otherwise. Dark Sakura, how was your gaming week? You're muted on hard mute on Discord.
There we go. It was all right. I played lots of Dead by Daylight. I played some pinball.
Ooh.
Wordscapes. That's it. No Animal Crossing.
No Animal Crossing.
2 weeks without.
Oh no! Is this the beginning of the end?
No, I don't think so. I just think that I've been really busy.
Understandable.
I'm also surprised too, like kind of going back to the Nintendo Direct, that we didn't hear any updates on Animal Crossing.
Like, yeah, it's a little bit surprising too, I think. Like no version update or something.
Maybe that's coming to like its own Nintendo Direct or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And also I didn't watch Treehouse. They have a lot of stuff, you know, that sometimes they announce in Treehouse, so maybe it was in there.
I think if they'd announced something that big it would have been all over Twitter. So we've already would have had that. So I think it's just not. I think if they do anything, it'll be in a separate direct later on, or like they'll do maybe a direct. I don't want to set expectations unreasonably, but maybe they'll do like in. I was gonna say an indie game direct, but I'm not sure Animal Crossing would fit in with that. So maybe some type of a mini direct that gives updates on a lot of indies, and then an Animal Crossing surprise thrown in there, and maybe one other game that gets DLC or something. So, all right, let's move on to Loki and your gaming week.
Well, it's been Minecraft still. So actually a lot of this week was editing, but still a lot of Minecraft and just basically working on designing the structure that I'm building for inspired by the session I had with Tango Tech last week.
Mm-hmm.
So just kind of working on that. I decided originally the concept I had pitched to him when I was doing it was like, okay, we're going to build a skyscraper type thing. But instead, I'm going with, like, a industrial factory. So I've been working on that, doing the redstone for that. So that'll be coming soon. I tease that at the end of my video. And so that's what I'm working on. And I'm going to be continuing to work on this week. I'm actually taking some time off from work because it's not work. So to play some more during the week. So I'll be doing that. And I do want to get back into streaming some more as well. But it's hard to stream when we have cats yelling at us down at our feet, huh? but yeah.
All right. My gaming week, I don't really have new games to talk about. Sadly, I know I was supposed to get on Game Pass to get like Yakuza Like a Dragon and some of the other stuff, but our bandwidth is a little tight right at the moment, and I've just been kind of enjoying the games that I have still. I've actually been playing No Man's Sky again, which is weird because there's not another special timed mission in there right now. But I want to work on the achievements that I'm missing in that game because it's really ridiculous that I talk so much about this game and I don't have all the achievements yet. So I really need to work on those. So that's kind of been my goal in No Man's Sky. I've been continuing in Final Fantasy 14. In fact, I did at least one stream this week. There might have been two. I can't remember anymore, but I know I did one just last night. And I've been working on some of the classes that are not level 80 yet, building them up. So like my warrior is one of my last jobs I have to get to level 80. And I got that to level 51 on stream last night. So that was pretty cool. And then continuing in Dead by Daylight a little bit. I just play a little bit every day. Shout out to my husband, Alan Alchemy. He did a stream earlier today for Dead by Daylight. He did his first cosplay stream where he actually dressed up as one of the characters, Ace. He bought all this stuff online that he dressed up as the character. You can check it out on his channel at Alan Alchemy. I'm pretty sure his VODs are all open and he has clips too. And I thought that was really adorable that he really poured himself into that. He actually grew out his facial hair a certain way so he could do the cosplay authentically. And I thought that was super cute.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, right. So, and I told him you need to go to Dragon Con so you can use some of these cosplays again. I think Alan may be into the idea of Dragon Con next year. this year's a little too soon, and kind of like this year's been being planned. It's not necessarily the COVID thing, but it's that this year's been being planned since 2019. So it's a little hard for Alan to get in on that. But he's talking about maybe 2022 he's actually going to come, especially if he sticks with the streaming thing. So that would be really exciting, I think. And then I feel like I'm missing something for my gaming week, but it's a lot of the stuff I've talked about before on this show. I didn't really play anything new this week. Maybe in the next week I'll finally get the Yakuza Like a Dragon. Although I'm actually going to be gone for a couple days next weekend. Not to toot my own horn, but next weekend is my birthday. So I'm going to be out of town. I'm going to be getting back just in time for OLR on Sunday. So it's going to be a rush show next week. So that'll be fun. So, yeah. All right. Speaking of special show stuff, before I get to the next story, one thing I want to make sure y'all know about, if you haven't seen on Twitter yet, Loki Dark Sakura and myself are going to be doing a very special presentation on Wednesday, is the 23rd, right? If I did my math right. So Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, we are going to be doing a special stream here at VOG Network, where we listen to Orange Lounge Radio episode 1. And not going to lie, it's going to be a little cringe because we've come a long way in 19 years. But that's kind of what it's all about, is celebrating how far this show has come in the 19 years that we've been on the air. So that is a channel point reward. You guys raised the points for the live folks here at twitch.tv. And it was our highest channel point reward ever. And you guys still raised 150,000 points. So we're going to do that special stream for you guys. And the Wednesday date is specifically chosen. It's intentional because June 23rd was the first Orange Lounge Radio. Obviously, what day falls on what day of the week changes from year to year. So June 23rd was a Sunday in 2002. It's going to be a Wednesday this year, but that will be the actual 19th birthday. And Dark Tetsuya in chat says, didn't the show originally start at 7? It started at 6:30. So I'm glad you brought that up. Orange Lounge Radio's original time was 6:30 to 8:30. It was a 2-hour show. And then when we were not able to contain ourselves to 2 hours, it was 6 to 9. So, and insert your own joke about 6 and 9 here. So yeah, it was 6:30 to 8:30 when it first started. So yeah, that is kind of interesting, is that when we listen to the show, it's only going to be 2 hours worth of show. And there were music breaks in the beginning. So, and for obvious reasons, we're not going to play those music breaks. We're going to kind of use our skip ahead on the music breaks to just get to the talking parts. So the talking itself may only be about an hour 15. I don't remember the ratio of music to talking in the early shows. So we will cover all that on Wednesday. I still have to figure out how to play an MP3 so you guys can hear it while I'm broadcasting it. So I better figure that out before Wednesday. All right. Anyhow, one other shout out. Sorry, I know we want to get into gaming news, but I have some shout outs this week. I need to make sure I get this one out on air because you can check it out over on their YouTube channel. The Dragon Con Digital Media Track did a special kind of spotlight show that I was lucky enough to be a guest on. That was a week ago, but you can now watch on YouTube. You can watch the interview that Mike did with me. And we just talked about, you know, doing a show for 19 years and talked a little bit about this upcoming Dragon Con. And we talked a little bit about, you know, how has the motivation been there for so long and all that stuff. So, I want to just kind of give that a shout out. The link is in the VOG Network Discord over at vognetwork.com/Discord. Since it's a YouTube link, I can't really read it on air because, you know, it just has random numbers and letters at the end of it. But please be on the lookout for that, or just check out, just do like, you know, Dragon Con Digital Media, Rob Roberts. You'll find it if you do a search there. So look for that. And then Bobby is asking me to plug. Oh, thank you, SSJ and her Matt actually linked it there in chat for the live folks. Thank you. Thank you for those in the podcast. Just do a search for it. You'll find it. And then Bobby Blackwolf says, oh, and plug Summer Games Done Quick real quick, too. Monday early morning and the Saturday night finale. Okay, I don't think I need to plug Summer Games Done Quick because everybody knows about it. If you don't know about Summer Games Done Quick, hello, welcome to video game culture. There is a very big video game event that happens in the summer and in the winter. And in the winter, it's called Awesome Games Done Quick. And in the summer, it's called Summer Games Done Quick. They raise money for charity by doing games quickly. It's not just a clever title. But the speedrunning community is awesome. The commentary they do is great. Excuse me. And since it is a charity a fundraising thing, there are donations that come in, and somebody has to read those donations and give shout-outs live on air. And one of those many talented somebodies that brings it all together for Summer Games Done Quick is going to be Vogue Network's own Bobby Blackwolf. And so he will be doing some announcing Monday early, early morning. Maybe depending on your time zone, it may not be quite the same. I would say if you're Europe, this is a great chance to catch Bobby Blackwolf, because that'll be middle of the day for you guys. But he's got a block of games on Monday that I know includes Star Tropics 2, I think. And I know the original Batman on NES is in there as well, and some other games as well. But then the big, big one that Bobby's doing that we're really thrilled for him, and you know, it's just for the speed run in general, because it's going to be great. Bobby's hosting the finale, which is Kingdom Hearts 2 this year. So he'll be there at the very, very end of it all on Saturday night. So that is going to be awesome. So congrats to Bobby, and best of luck to everybody at the Summer Games Done Quick. And I believe that is the 4th of July weekend coming up when that all starts. Remind me the date real quick. I know it's not next week, but I think it's the week after. So... if somebody wants to remind me the date when that starts. Thank you. Bobby says it's July 4th through 11th. Okay, that's what I thought. I thought it started the weekend of July 4th. Okay, so yeah, be looking out for that. Okay, now we can get into news. I'm done with all the announcements. There was a lot tonight. So that was our own E3 Direct right there. There you go. All right, let's move on. Loki, why don't you start us off tonight?
All right. So starting off, you know, there was some, I guess, issues with the demo for the new Final Fantasy game, that Strangers in Paradise. So apparently that there was some issues with game corruption, or where there was a gate that was corrupted or something like that. So they've, I guess, been unable to boot the game, and running into different issues with it. Which is not a good way to present your game.
No, it is not.
From the get-go.
I need to get on my tangent about bandwidth caps again, because people were burning that game download, and then it's like I wasted my bandwidth for literally nothing. Now, if I'm not mistaken, you didn't have to re-download the entire thing to fix it. Am I correct, Bobby? Because I don't have a PS5 still. Maybe that'll be fixed this holiday. We'll see. I don't have a PS5 still, so I don't know. Did you have to re-download all 11 gigs, or did something kind of trigger on the back end where it just figured it out? Bobby Blackwell says the patch was not 11 gigs. Okay, so at least they didn't have to re-download
it.
That's good, at least.
So, but they did it. They did at least fix it, though, earlier this week. So that was nice that happened. But still, like, you know, I'll kind of test that before you publish it.
That's embarrassing yeah. For not just Square but Sony, and just like the PlayStation 5 as a platform. Sorry, I'm not trying to be a jerk, but that's a really embarrassing mistake. Like, how was this not tested, what this would look like on a retail PS5? I mean, I'm sure it was tested on dev PS5s. How was this not tested on a retail PS5?
It's possible, like, if there's some sort of corruption with it, maybe that, you know, copying something, or maybe the transfer to, like, the server or something caused an issue, and so, you know, maybe it was fine on their end, but then they had the patch. I don't know. But it is still annoying.
It's ridiculous how that all went down. Questbuster in chat says, one could say the demo was fraught with chaos. Bobby Blackwell says, I played it. They did have an easy mode, but it's a Souls-like, and it kind of proves why Souls games should not have an easy mode, because it's kind of boring. I got bored and turned it off at some point. It was just too repetitive. No One Special 77's in chat and says, so Squeenix tossed the demo of Phoenix down? Well, I think they kind of had to, because that's, I mean, it's one thing when your demo's bad. It's another when your demo just straight up doesn't work. Can you imagine, back in the day, Loki, if you'd bought one of those PlayStation magazines with a demo disc, and you put the demo disc in your drive, and it just goes, corrupt file error, sorry.
Yeah, people would be upset.
People would be a little bit upset. I get that it's different now, but I just can't believe that happened.
Or like one of those, what was it, where you got the Final Fantasy VII demo with, like, with the Brave Fencer Musashi or something like that, and it's like, oh, file error.
Yes.
Whoops.
Whoops. That's really just embarrassing for everyone involved. I'm sorry. Anyway. All right. At some point, I'll get a PlayStation 5. I don't think my birthday I'm going to get one for that, but maybe the holidays. Anyway, Let's move on and talk. Sorry, guys. Let's talk a little bit about Niantic, the creators of the game Pokemon Go, which I've talked a couple times about on this show. They make other games as well. Ingress, I've talked a little bit about, even though I think that game is kind of lesser known. But Ingress is that was their first big game and still, I was going to say is still popular, but that might kind of be a lie. So is still played. We'll say that.
It's still popular among the people that still play the game.
Yeah, it's still popular with some people. And I would say also Harry Potter Wizards Unite. I'm not sure how well that game is doing, but I think it's well enough. It's still going. I kind of stopped playing that a long time ago, but I know others that still play it and are into it. So there's that. Those are all the Niantic games that are out now. Niantic has also previously announced they are working on a Settlers of Catan game. That is still not out. I think that one's being tested in New Zealand or something, but that game is still not out. They also announced very recently they are working on a Pikmin game, or at least some type of exploration with Pikmin type of app. We're not sure exactly if that means like a game or maybe something where you're collecting like things from. We don't know what that is yet, but we know Niantic is doing something with Pikmin. well, it was also announced this week Niantic's got another project in the works. A Transformers game is the next game coming from Niantic. Now, this sounds like it might be a little, or when I say is coming from Niantic, this might be a little more like Niantic and Wizards Unite, where I actually think Wizards Unite is actively developed by Portkey Games, which is a subsidiary of Warner Brothers. They handles all the Harry Potter stuff, and they use Niantic's network of AR portals and ARs. I say portals because they, you know, built that all on the labor of Ingress players and now Pokemon Go players a little bit as well, which is why it got worse. But I digress.
Oh, so I have to ask because now it's been like a long time.
Yes.
An undetermined long time. So they finally given you any sort of perks for, you know, prestiging or whatever in Ingress?
If you have their $5 a month sub or whatever it is, then you get one set of rewards if you're unrecursed, and you get a slightly better set of rewards if you have recursed. But that involves you have to have their $5 a month sub to see that.
That's lame.
Yeah, I wish the reward was better for the recursion. That's Ingress, and you know what though, you know, as much as I joke about Ingress is kind of like, you know, it's not really at the level it used to be and all that. They have announced they are going to start bringing live events back. You know, with COVID restrictions having lessened and vaccines being readily available if you want it. And again, we here at OLR would encourage all of you to get your vaccinations. We've all gotten ours and we're fine. Far less of a chance to spread COVID when we have that. But anyhow, so they're going to be bringing back live events again. And I think they're doing a van event in Oakland July 9th. That's just like a social get together. But I think they're doing a mission day on July 11th. And that, again, is kind of like you check in at a spot, but you're really going outside and exploring the town and doing missions and getting. So I think there's that. And then they are saying in-person anomalies or some other type of in-person PvP events, maybe not necessarily an anomaly, but some other type of event is going to be coming back. It sounds like this year. So that's kind of exciting as well. So we'll see. All right. Anyway, back to the Transformers game before we got on a tangent there. I was saying that I think this Transformers game is like the Harry Potter game in that Niantic is not the one really actively developing it, but they are lending their AR expertise and their layout of the world to this game. Because admittedly, it does work better when you have games, because there's been a lot of Pokemon Go like ripoff games where it's been randomly generated, so to speak. And it doesn't usually work out as well. I don't know. Some people really love that Jurassic Park game.
I will play this.
Oh, the Transformers game?
Heck yeah.
Heck yeah, right? So,
Transformers.
Transformers Heavy Metal is supposed to launch globally this year. They're going to soft launch it in some countries soon. And I guarantee those some countries are Australia, New Zealand, because that's where all the Niantic stuff gets piloted. Seattle-based studio Very Very Spaceship is leading development on this. So that's why
I love the name of that studio.
Yeah, I know, right? That's why I said, I don't think it's actually Niantic, but, you know, there's kind of that going on. How does this work? Here's the description. In Transformers Heavy Metal... Heavy Metal makes me think of the anime from the 80s, actually. That's why
Transformers game.
Yeah, right. In Transformers Heavy Metal, players will join the Guardian Network, a group of humans who have banded together with the Autobots in a war against the Decepticons. As a Guardian, players will uncover hidden regions across Earth to find resources and battle Decepticons in turn-based battles, either solo or with friends. The only disappointing part about that description is that it sounds like I will not be able to be a Decepticon or root for the Decepticons. That is the only unfortunate news. But okay, I'll still try it. Pretty much any AR game, and I mean any AR game, because I've played some fucking trash AR games, Garfield Go. I've played some really fucking trash AR games. I'll try it at least once. Just because I love the concept of real world location AR games. I realize AR could also mean like HoloLens type stuff, where literally the environment around you and what you're seeing is different. And I think Niantic is headed that direction if you look at some of their prototype stuff. But we're not there yet with these cell phone games, so it'll be very interesting. So, all right. Bobby Blackwolf in the chat says, actually, Heavy Metal wasn't an anime because it was made in the U.S. by Ivan Reitman. And then I agree with Dark Sakura. Technically, anime stands for animation, and U.S. animation is referred to as anime in Japan. Ha!
I mean, there are tons of words that are really just shortened versions. Like, terebi is television.
I'm going to be honest. I called it an anime because even if it was developed, it kind of looks like an anime to me. Like, and it's, I realize it's also very different. So Heavy Metal's an interesting movie because back in the day, here we go.
Couldn't see the sequel.
You ready for Grandpa to tell a story? Back in the day, Dark Soccer and Loki, you'll appreciate this. At the Birdcage Cinemas, back in the day, and any Sacramento locals. Back in the day at the Birdcage Cinema, when we used to do the Rocky Horror Picture Show at midnight. The midnight movie, the Rocky Horror Picture Show played in Theater 1. You know what played in Theater 2 every weekend at midnight? Heavy Metal. So I know that movie very well from back in the day.
Do you want to know what's funny?
What's funny?
I was sneaked in to see it in 1981.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
I didn't know what was going on. I think I fell asleep, but I remembered I just remember asking, is that John Candy? Because he did a voice.
I remember for a short while, I'd say about a year, they did Austin Powers Man of Mystery in Theater 3. And then I want to say there was another one they tried to do as a midnight movie for a short time. Because it was one of those things where it was like, if we're going to open... Rocky Horror was the only one that people actually went to, by the way. Because I remember one night... Sorry, this has nothing to do with games. I'm telling this story anyway. I remember one night, we had such a big theme night going on. We were running into Theater 2 to fucking change into one costume to another because we were out of space in the back part area. So it was like, you know what? Once you run up the aisle, just go fucking change in the Heavy Metal Theater. No one's in there. Anyway. All right.
I have an aside, by the way, about Heavy Metal.
Okay. Why not? I get tangents, you get tangents. What's your aside?
So I used to play Rifts. It was one of the first tabletop games I ever played. And
oh, yeah.
our campaign was to find the Lochnar.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, my character was the only one that lived. I played a true neutral character. She had an anti-gravity trench coat. And was playing Tetris while the entire party got eaten by ants.
I love
and
that.
Then she delivered the Lochnar to whoever had hired them to get it for a lot of money. And then that was the last time I ever played Rifts.
Table games really, truly only are limited by your imagination. That's for sure. By the way, speaking of the Birdcage, while Rocky Horror played in Theater 1, Heavy Metal played in Theater 2, and Austin Powers in Theater 3, do you know what was going on in the parking lot?
Making out?
LARPing.
Well...
I'll tell
you, I LARPed.
Man, the Birdcage being, that was a fucking cultural icon here in the Sacramento area. If any of our listeners are in Northern California, you know, and you're over the age of 30, you understand all this reminiscing about the Birdcage. That was the place, I'll tell you. All right. Yeah,
I just know about it secondhand. I mean, I was there when Birdcage was torn down, but.
Yeah, you just missed it because they tore it down in what, 2001? No, that was the year you got here. So no, I think you just
I was here
it.
In 99 because I remember that we watched X 1999 and End of Evangelion back to back when it turned to 2000 and was really depressed. I was here.
The last Rocky Horror at Birdcage was 2001. So you were here. You just probably never got over there.
I was here. Yeah.
Ah, all right. Anyway.
Because Dan and I used to go to the game room like all the time.
Oh, that arcade was bomb. Anyway, Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, see, had I not mansplained, we wouldn't have had any of these tangents. You're welcome, OL Army. What about all the good things mansplaining did? SSJ100, Matt says, we need to bring Travis Donovan in on this memory lane trip. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Let's move on to our next story. Did you want to do this, Darkstalker, or you want me to do this?
You can do it.
Okay. Then let's talk about the Epic Game Store and some of the... I'm sorry, Loki. Why don't you do this? I'm sorry. I noticed it was you. I thought I had this.
No problem. So there's some leak. I don't know if it's leaks or like rumors or whatever, but it's the database lists Final Fantasy VII Remake and Alan Wake Remastered as titles that are going to be possibly coming out. So they're under like kind of code names right now. But if you look at the database, it actually shows like the cloud save folder, which then has their actual names. So I like these because, you know, Final Fantasy VII Remake, that's Pineapple QA. And then we have Heron staging for Alan Wake Remastered. So I guess these are coming. Just when?
I am so here for an Alan Wake Remastered. I hope it's true. I hope they got to keep the licensed music. That's my other big like request because it had an amazing soundtrack. Like, I'm sorry, I screamed when Poe's Haunted actually was in a video game. I never thought I'd live to see the day. But yeah, and that whole soundtrack was amazing. So if they actually got to keep the licensed music and they're doing a remaster, I'm so here for it. Let's hope so.
Yeah, I'm cool. I'm curious to see, well, see what abominations we're going to get with Final Fantasy VII Remastered coming to PC. And then the modding community hits that.
Oh, boy.
That's going to be interesting.
Can't wait. That's going to be a lot of fun. All right. Anyhow, let's move on and talk about, hey, let's talk about the things people are already making. A game that encourages making your own games. Game Builder Garage came out for the Nintendo Switch. That was another one of those things I meant to get around to this week and, you know, just didn't get the time. And we were kind of wondering, like, how long before people build copyright questionable things in Game Builder Garage? And it was kind of like, well, it maybe...
Immediately.
It seems like it might be too limited to do that kind of stuff. Like, it's not Dreams, you know, on the PS4. Like, Game Builder Garage is still a little limited in what you can do. So we weren't sure if there would be a lot. But as it turns out, no, people are able to make some pretty neat knockoffs in there. So apparently some Twitter users actually made the 1996 Ocarina of Time prototype. That's amazing. And a user named Zelda Boy on Twitter made the original SNES Mario Kart. Apparently recreated that in Game Builder Garage. Now, it looks like I'm looking at the screenshot of it, and it doesn't totally look right. But still, the idea that somebody kind of made it and it kind of works is pretty neat. Anyway, if you want to look up this user on Twitter, their name is Zelda Boy, but that's B-O-I, and then one. You can see they put the game ID there if you want to check out that game and with all the controls there. So I think that's pretty cool. And yeah, the Ocarina of Time prototype, Link doesn't exactly look right. But still, I mean, the fact that people are going this far with it is pretty cool. So
yeah, I haven't played Game Builder Garage yet, but my son's still going through it. He played through like several different tutorials. Mm-hmm. So he's been having me play his games that he's been making with it. So there's one that he did where it's like a two-player game where you have to, it's like tag. So you have to get away from the one person and dodge like these balls that are falling down. And then there was another one he did that was kind of like one of those labyrinth mazes where you tilt the marble around. So use the like touch or the motion controls to control that one. So that's cool. He's enjoying it.
All right. Yeah, I want to
put Pixel Poops 2 on it yet. So you know.
By the way, one other there's a Nintendogs prototype that somebody made as well. A Japanese user made that. So that's pretty cool. So anyway, I definitely have to check out the Game Builder Garage. If for nothing else, I just want to play other people's games. People are very creative.
It's not a full price game either. I think it's $30 or $40.
Oh, that's even better.
Not, yeah, so it's definitely worth checking out.
Absolutely. All right, moving on. Loki.
All right. So Cyberpunk 2077 has been littered with bugs and problems, and you may remember last year they had pulled it from the PlayStation Store because it was so broken. Well, it's finally coming back, so you can actually now check it out for the PlayStation 4 now. I don't think they have a dedicated PlayStation. Well, yeah, obviously they don't have a dedicated PlayStation 5 or Series X version yet, but it's coming. So we'll have to wait. I don't even know what the timeline was, because I know that was supposed to be March originally, and then they pushed it back. I don't know if that's still August or something, but I haven't played it in a while. It's been probably 6 months since I played that game, because I've been just waiting for it to be fully patched.
Yeah, I don't blame you. But that's great that they can actually get the sales from PlayStation now. Although, you know, based on other stories, it doesn't sound like the game got hurt as bad as we thought it would. I mean, yes, they had to do some refunds. They did quite a few of those. But it sounded to me like the game was still, for all intents and purposes, successful. Despite all these, you know, launch horror stories and the fact that it got pulled from the PlayStation shop. And now that's just, you know, more money for them to bring in. They probably won't put this game on sale for quite some time. I would imagine this holiday we'll start to see some sales on this game, which is about the time I'll start to look at it. But, you know, because like Loki's kind of also saying there, when it gets the patches and all that stuff, I might be more into
it. It's going to be a great game once it gets the patches. It's just, you know, it had a lot of promise, like with the concept for it, but they just kind of cut a lot of corners. So if they're able to kind of pull, I mean, it's hard to say if they pull a No Man's Sky and just completely bring, you know, if they at least like kind of meet us a little bit halfway there or something, you know, with like fixing, especially like the police AI, which I know was on the list of things to do. So it's not so cheap, or if like I'm starting, you know, to get my crime level up or whatever, I don't have police officers teleporting right behind me while I'm standing on the ledge of a building. You know, like ridiculous stuff like that. Like, then that would be fine. I don't know. I'll go back to it eventually. But it was a pretty good game. It's just a pretty buggy game.
Some more comments on Cyberpunk in our chat room. Questbuster says the biggest damage was to CD Projekt's reputation, but from their fiscal reports, they made bank on the game. And Bobby Blackwolf says CP 2077 was still a financial success. And I think it really does go a long way to underscore the fact that, you know, internet rage on Twitter, Facebook, and all that stuff, it doesn't mean shit. What really matters is if you buy the game or not. And if you give the money or not, it really matters what's coming out of your wallet or staying in your wallet at the end of the day. If you're complaining about it on Twitter and then buy the game anyway, congrats, you did nothing. So, I mean, you know, and sometimes, I mean, with the Cyberpunk stuff, I that's one of those ones where it's like, well, I kind of understand why people were pissed off with that. But there's other things where I'm always like, you know, why are people, they're going to buy the game anyway. Why are people complaining about if they show a Breath of the Wild 2 trailer at E3 or not? Shut up. You're going to buy the game anyway. And, you know, T. All right. Let's move on. Let's talk about the Xbox Series X and S, because, you know, they've talked about how the X and S titles are, you know, they still want to support the Xbox One, even though they want to make games that are really only technically possible on the Xbox X and S. So what happens to Xbox One? And I remember suggesting on a prior episode, and I'm sure I'm not the only one to do this, that, well, if Microsoft's getting into this cloud thing, then why would the Xbox One at some point not just become the way you play games on the cloud? Well, guess what? Guess what? It looks like that is actually the direction that Microsoft is going. Will Tuttle from Microsoft kind of confirmed in a Xbox News post at news.xbox.com that Xbox One owners will get to play many, so they don't want to commit to all, but many Xbox Series X and S titles through cloud gaming. We don't know what the details look like yet, but I guess in the future we'll know more about how this works. And we kind of, you know, we have an idea through some of these test programs and stuff what that might look like, you know. And again, this, I, you know, even though it's been speculation, they've kind of hinted this is where it's been going before. Phil Spencer had mentioned in an interview that he did with Kotaku in October, game streaming could help bridge generations and let Xbox One users play the latest titles. My big shock is that they wouldn't put a cloud gaming player on Xbox 360. Why not? Maybe it isn't, I don't. How could?
Maybe
how
it can't? Maybe it can't handle that.
Maybe it really can't. Or maybe the controllers too different. Maybe I don't know. But I
no.
I would just be surprised they wouldn't even put a cloud gaming player on the Xbox 360. They might though. I don't rule it out. But maybe they're also thinking that there's not quite the, you know, Xbox 360s are starting to kind of like stop working and stuff like that. So maybe they don't think they'd get the game for the buck.
And I don't think that, like, because that's a couple generations back. Like, I get it that, you know, they probably still want you to at least upgrade. And my concern, I think, with the Xbox 360 would be storage, because the hard drives on those weren't very large.
True.
And so to be able to, you know, store or cache, you know, I guess with game streaming it's not a big deal, but like, I think maybe they just want you to upgrade to the at least the Xbox One to be able to run that stuff, because maybe those processors are just really old and maybe storage is an issue with those, but they probably also just want to sell at least some of those consoles. At the very least, like, you know, the last gen. And, I mean, even now, I don't know what, like, an original Xbox One goes for. But, like, I can't imagine it's super expensive at this point.
Not at this point. I want to get to this comment in chat. Ninja the Monkey in chat says, well, look at the Game Pass. Most of the newer editions are for X and S, but you can still play it on the One. Yes, and Microsoft kind of promised that in the beginning, is that we're going to still be developing titles that are playable on both. Like Halo Infinite is playable on both. And this has nothing to do with cloud gaming. This is just the whole... Like, you know, a modern PC will play it super well at these settings, but on an older PC, it'll look less great, right? The frame rate might not be quite as smooth. You might not have the same draw distance and all that stuff, but you'll still be able to play the game. Honestly, same deal with PlayStation 5 and PlayStation 4, right? Like they announced Horizon Forbidden West. It's going to be on PlayStation 5, but guess what? They're also going to put it on PlayStation 4. But... I think what we're looking ahead to is that Microsoft may not want to keep developing that way through the entire lifespan of the Series X and S. There's going to come a point where this game and this vision that we have, this Forza Motorsport 8, I think is the game that's breaking it, to be perfectly frank. This game won't play on the One. It is too powerful. It needs a Series X and S. And I you know, I say that very specifically because they were demoing Forza Motorsport in the early days of the Xbox Series X. We're getting Horizon instead. Motorsport has mysteriously disappeared and been delayed. And I think it's because that is the game they cannot get working on the Xbox One. And so they have decided, fuck it, we're going to delay it until we no longer need to put it out on the Xbox One. And our cloud gaming system is in place that will now allow you to do Forza Motorsport 8 or whatever it is on the Xbox One through the magic of cloud gaming. So that's my guess. Anyway, Bobby Blackwolf also, this is a really good theory about the 360. The Xbox 360's Ethernet port is only he actually corrects it and says, okay, it is a 100 megabyte port. I think that it's not a gigabit port. That's why it has a different color in my router. Okay.
Yeah,
that makes
not
the most sense.
Gigabit port. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense then. That it's just not fast enough, the parts inside, to handle cloud stuff. All right, I gotcha. Yeah, it can work for Netflix, but maybe not xCloud. I get it. All right, anyway, good. All right, well, okay, I think we've talked about the cloud. I think it's time to go back and talk about something a little retro.
Time to travel back to a simpler time, where I'll dive into the vault and pull out a classic and tell you about it. It's time for the classic game of the week.
And what did you pick this week, Dark Sakura?
I picked a kind of fan game.
Mm-hmm.
It was a freeware role-playing game, and it was presented as an official sequel to Barkley Shut Up and Jam. And Space Jam. And it's called Barkley Shut Up and Jam Gaiden. It's weird. If I was doing a weird home game of the month, this one would be on it.
We had this in my background not too long ago.
Yeah. So anyway, you basically are playing as Charles Barkley and a few secondary characters. It's interesting. So basically, it has a play system called, I guess it would be pronounced baby, but it's B-A-B-B-Y, Babby maybe, system that the battle system was influenced by a lot of the JRPGs. So the enemies will appear on game field and run at your player, and they will attack you if you move into their line of sight, and then you have a battle, and you have attacks and skills, and basically, you also do have timed button presses like in the Mario RPG series, and some are accuracy-based, so, I mean, it's your general game. Apart from that, weirdness. So, you're playing in 2041, 12 years prior to the main part of the game, in this post-cyberpocalyptic neo-New York, where Charles Barkley does a chaos dunk at a baseball game and inadvertently kills most of the people that are there. So basketball gets outlawed, and basketball players are hunted down and killed. So basically, that's the beginning premise. Someone else does another chaos dunk later, and Charles Barkley is blamed for it, and so there is a hunt by the B-ball removal department led by Michael Jordan. And I'm going to leave it there, because it apparently goes really, really weird. So, like, I mean, it's got a very involved story, but the whole thing is that it came apart as a sort of joke based on an awkward phrase on Michael Jordan's Wikipedia page. So it was developed by Tales of Games Studios. They were members from Amateur Game Development Forum. And that phrase was about the fan debate over whether or not Space Jam was canon, without specifying if it was talking about the Looney Tunes series or Michael Jordan's life in general. Some of the members, and I'll give the names, was Chef Boyardee, Bort, Jeezy. When I hear Bort, all I think is the Blort, which is what I call the Blight. And Quack Guyver all had some work in developing the game. There were a few other minor contributions. And it was first developed in RPG Maker 2003 and ported to Game Maker 6.1. It was planned to be released for both, but eventually only came out through Game Maker 6.1 because of power and flexibility. And it also was at the 2014 Games Done Quick, the guys behind it said they never played the original Shut Up and Gam. Jam. Sorry, I can't make words today. But they said that the thought of that RPG would make them laugh, and that's why they did it. So, Tales of Games in 2012 announced a sequel called The Magical Realms of Tir-na-nog, Escape from Necron 7, Revenge of Kokolin, the official game of the movie, Chapter 2 of the Hoops Barkley Saga. That's the full name. Had crowdfunding on Kickstarter to start it. The Kickstarter ended on December 28th and raised $120,335. They were doing everything from scratch to avoid copyright issues. But the majority of the developers left the project, and that development is going slowly because only two people are behind it right now. And there's some very poor management going on. So we'll see if it actually happens. As far as release dates, this came out January 22nd, 2008, which means it's permitted. And it was released on Windows and Mac OS X. That's it.
All right.
It's weird, isn't it?
It is very weird. That is for sure. I'm reading some of the comments.
I just think it's funny that he's talking to, like, Larry Bird in there, who's wearing a fedora.
Oh, yeah. I'm reading some of the comments in chat. I guess this is actually a very timely sort of pick. I didn't realize this because, well, for one, they're all saying, like, this game's 10 years old, what? But apparently, and I know this, Questbuster says they even had a widely successful Kickstarter for a sequel that never materialized. And Bobby says they literally canceled it 2 weeks ago and released all the code.
Is that not what I just said?
Oh, I'm sorry. I snuck AFK for just a moment. I'm sorry. So
okay. I said that in talking about the game.
Got it. My bad.
But yeah. But I didn't know it was canceled, so thanks to Bobby.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. So, and then there's a whole little update on the particular itch.io there. So
yeah.
Yeah.
I would advise the chat not to make a comment about the history of the game until I'm done with my segment. Just saying.
All right. What is this? I'm trying to see. What is this? Sadly, no one is streaming this. I don't know if that's the discussion about the game or what that is. So, okay. But yeah, there it is. Classic game of the week. A very unique pick because I just...
It looks good, though, for design.
No, for sure. For something that's kind of like indie made or whatever, it definitely looks... It looks polished, I think is a good way to put it, for something that's, you know, homegrown and an RPG maker type of thing. And obviously, it's a hilarious concept, that's for sure. So, all right. Let's move on and get to some rapid-fire news, where we're going to travel around the industry quickly and check out some other quick headlines. And let's get to Loki, starting off with you.
Yeah, so the Xbox Design Lab is back. So you may remember they had something similar back with the Xbox One, and I think even the Xbox 360 controllers. Maybe it's just Xbox One controllers, but where you basically can go onto this Design Lab, customize colors, add your gamer tag, all that stuff, and they'll actually ship you a completed controller in that color scheme. So that was originally something that was available for, I think, the Xbox One controllers. And then, you know, obviously the Xbox Series X came out and Series S, and the controllers were slightly different. So they actually had stopped accepting the custom controllers for about 8 months or so back in October. But it's back now. So now you can get your own Xbox Series X controller in gaudy colors if you want, which is cool. And those cost $70 for with free shipping, or $10 extra if you want to engrave your gamer tag on there. And then GTA Online is going to be shut down on PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 on December 16th. Honestly, I'm surprised it hasn't already. But in case you're still playing it on the Xbox 360 and PS3, it's going to be shut down. I thought that they stopped getting updates on those consoles. So, yeah, once again... Very surprised that that's still a thing, but wow, so many generations and with just one Grand Theft Auto game. I am very disappointed.
Yeah, I keep forgetting that was actually all the way back to PlayStation 3. That's so
wild. It's going to probably be 10 years old here. Well, it came out in 2010. No, not 10. It was a while ago. I don't think it's been 10 years yet, but it's been a while. So... I'm not surprised.
Before we get to Jamie's stories, the Xbox thing, can I go back there real quick? Because I think it's great that we can make the custom controllers, but I'm still irritated we can't get that Pride controller. Why can't I make that in the custom shop? Because I like their approach to it. They didn't just like put one rainbow thing. They kind of like did all this like abstract more type of style to it. I love it. And I wish I could get that as a controller, but... Whatever. It was for influencers only, and I don't count. So, whatever. Anyway, let's move on. Dark Sakura for Rapid Fire News. What do you have for us?
Amazon has a gaming service called Luna that has, I guess, a beta out for it right now. That's no invite access on Prime Day, which is June 21st and 22nd. Prime subscribers can start a 7-day trial and... get discounts on the Luna controller and Fire TV bundle. It costs $5.99 a month and includes some really new games. The dedicated controller is discounted from $249 from the list price for $70 for Prime members.
The controller is $70?
Yeah. and I'm not going to use it because I like Stadia.
Yeah, I think I've learned my lesson with buying controllers for streaming systems.
Also, Bayonetta 3 had a teaser. It exists. It is progressing well, according to the developers, so it will be out eventually.
Or so they claim. I'll believe it when I see it.
I hope so.
I guess, man, the pandemic must really be, you know, because there's that part of me that just wants to instinctively go, what's taking them so damn long? But then I'm like, oh, yeah, COVID happens. It's still happening, really. And it's no joke, the type of influence that's had on things. So, yeah. But, and, you know, Bayonetta, one of the best games of the year when it released. Bayonetta 2, one of the best games of the year when it released. So Bayonetta 3, like, the expectations are pretty high, so I guess it's going to take a little while for a cake like that to really sit in the oven and reach its full potential. That's for sure. Okay. Anyway, let's talk about some games we're going to be playing a little sooner than Bayonetta 3 as we get into some release dates. Loki, let's start with you in the U.S.
Yeah, so we've got a few things coming out this week. So starting with Alex Kidd in Miracle World DX, that's going to be on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X. We have Ender, looks like Ender Lilies, Quietus of the Nights, and that's on PC and Nintendo Switch. Dungeons & Dragons Dark Alliance on PC, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X. Olympic Games Tokyo 2020, the official video game on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Stadia. Worms Rumble on Nintendo Switch. The Caligula Effect 2 on Nintendo Switch and PlayStation 4. Legend of Mana on PC, Nintendo Switch, and PlayStation 4. Naruto no Kesaki Kai on PlayStation 4. Samurai Warriors 5 on Nintendo Switch and PlayStation 4. The Wicked King and the Noble Hero on Nintendo Switch and PlayStation 4. Mario Golf Super Rush on Nintendo Switch. Scarlet Nexus on PC, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2 on Nintendo Switch. And that's it.
All right. Pretty busy week in Japan as well. Let's go to the Nintendo Switch releases in Japan. We have Sugar Style coming out on June 24th, as well as Samurai Warriors 5. The Caligula Effect 2 is also out there in a regular and limited edition. Hamadashi Creative, also in a regular and limited edition. The Wicked King and the Noble Hero, you got it, regular and limited edition. There's so many limited editions over there, but I get it. Let's see, we also have Shiro Tokuro no Alice for Nintendo Switch is out this week as well. And we have the Gendai Dasen Ryoku 2020. Yuru Sekai Chi Sujo is out this week on the Switch as well. I'm trying to figure out what game that is. It looks like a tactical game involving like nautical battle and things like that, like air to sea to air type of stuff. So interesting. Okay, and then let's see, checking on other systems as well, checking the PlayStation 5 real quick, we have Chivalry 2 is out on the PlayStation 5 this week, a new fighting stick for Guilty Gear, if that's up your alley, Tennis World Tour 2, say that five times fast, the complete edition is also out in Japan this week on the PlayStation 5, and then on the PlayStation 4, Scarlet Nexus is out this week, as well as Sugar Style, Caligula Effect 2, Naita no Kisuke, Hamadashi Creative, The Wicked King and the Noble Hero, pretty much a very repetitive what also released on the Switch, and Samurai Warriors 5, also out in Japan this week. I am not sure if Darksoccer is there to do the UK releases. So,
I'm here.
Oh, hi. Okay, so let's go to the UK.
All right, in the UK, it looks like it listed something that just came out was Jigsaw Fun, Piece It Together for Switch. 22nd is Olympic Games Tokyo 2020, the official video game. Dungeons and Dragons Dark Alliance, Crazy Chicken Cart 2. That's the 24th, sorry. Also on the 24th, Castaway Paradise, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2, Ghost Runner, sorry, Tony Hawk was on the 25th, Ghost Runner's also on the 25th, Alex Kidd Miracle World DX, Solaris Off-World Combat, Blue Fire, Mario Golf Super Rush, Spirit Lucky's Big Adventure, and Scarlet Nexus.
All right. Lots of games every country this week. Not a slow week, that's for sure. Awesome. All right, let's move on. We have a few more headlines for you guys before we get to some of your feedback via Discord. The mail, I don't know if we have emails this week. We'll find out. And of course, our chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. But first, Loki, this is the headline of all headlines, right?
It is. I mean, it's finally out, the Atari VCS. You can buy it.
I've been waiting for so long.
$300 or $400 if you want it, like in walnut, with the kind of like retro controller in there as well. With the Xbox gamepad type thing that's in there. What's it do? It's a PC. It's a Ryzen PC, or at least it has a Ryzen chip in it. What can you run on it? No idea. I don't want it.
I wonder if they
I'll take it when it comes down to like $50, but like I'm not buying that.
The last headline I saw on this was that Atari VCS was doing like a partnership with AntStream, the classic game streaming service, to have Atari stuff that was like only playable on VCS. Like the VCS was going to have its own version of AntStream because they were slowly adding some Atari titles to AntStream, but certainly there's a lot more that they didn't put on there. I wonder if that actually happened or not.
No, it did.
Okay, it did.
It did. But it also has 100 games bundled with it, so 100 Atari games, okay. Retro Atari games. I'm sure that's worth $300. I don't know. If I was going to spend $400 on something like that, I would get a one-up cabinet, to be honest. But it's a hard sell. I don't know. At least it looks nice. I mean, if it's a decent, if it can, like, if I only wanted, like, something to, like, hack apart to, like, play retro games, I mean, it's a cool-looking console, but not at that price.
Yeah, I just don't know what I would really need this for. I mean, I guess, yeah, it's like the tiny little computer of itself, but I don't know. I'm not sure the place it has. But we'll see. We'll see how it does. Maybe there's other people that'll have a place for it. Who knows? All right. Pod Culture says Ryzen mobile CPU, isn't it? All right. Moving on to a story about Squeenix and the release of Outriders. This was a game that I checked out on Game Pass. I don't know if I would have normally bought this kind of game, but because it was on Game Pass, I checked it out, and I did enjoy it enough. One of these days, I need to go back to it. And maybe there's a lot of people like me out there, because during a recent investors meeting, President and Representative Director Yosuke Matsuda said that despite whatever bugs were there at launch, Outriders has gotten off to a good start as a new IP. Going on to say that they are pleasantly surprised at the digital sales that the title has been getting has been high. The number of active users has beaten expectations. They also say the decision to make the game available through Game Pass as soon as the title launch has worked in its favor of building an install base. Now, this could mean some, you know, Square Enix kind of seeing that. This could mean some interesting things for the Xbox Game Pass model going forward. I'm not saying we're going to suddenly see something like, you know, Final Fantasy 16, obviously, because that's going to be a PlayStation exclusive out the gate. But I'm just saying it is interesting now, and I'm sure other companies are going to kind of see that, where it's like, oh, the benefits of getting a huge install base out the gate may be worth it. I bet at some point they delist Outriders from Game Pass, and it's like, hey, you want to keep playing? Now you got to pony up the money. But we'll see, I guess. So, in mid-May, Outriders had 3.5 million players in the first month of release. And then apparently there was average play times of over 30 hours. That's still pretty good. If you are not on Game Pass and you want to check the game out, there is still a demo that is available on all platforms. So you can check that out. Pretty cool. All right. Let's see. Going to some comments from our chat. Questbuster in chat says, the only problem is Outriders Endgame, which needs some work. I've heard that complaint elsewhere as well. And I wonder if there isn't going to be an expansion. I bet that's it. I bet they don't pull the game from Game Pass, but they release an expansion. And then that's where they're really going to make some money from the install base. And then an expansion can kind of tweak endgame things, right? Like, that's what we saw happen with Diablo 3. Diablo 3 got a way better endgame because of an expansion. And so I could see that maybe being their solution to the problem. We'll see what happens with that. Anyway. SG100 Matt says, I finished the main game, but I haven't touched the post-game excursions at all. I guess, again, that speaks to the end game. I just really liked the blend of a little bit of Borderlands with Gears of War. And Questbuster is saying, I'd love an expansion for Outriders. So I kind of see that could be the secret there. So we'll see. We'll see. Anyhow, Loki. You're muted, just, you know.
Sorry. So let's talk about some limited run games that are maybe getting some physical versions of those. So they had their own E3 presentation as well. Some of them are notable things, like we actually have a Turbo Duo game. So Castlevania Rondo of Blood is getting a new special edition physical release for the Turbo Duo. And then we have Castlevania Requiem for PlayStation 4. Axiom Verge 2, we've got River City Girls 2, and River City Girls 0, Shantae 1 through 5, Skatebird, which really should be called Skateburb, but, you know. Zombies Ate My Neighbors and Ghoul Patrol, it's getting a physical version on Switch. Super Hot, also getting a version on Switch as well. And, lots of titles. There was, I think, a total of, like, 15 or 20 titles, 25 new titles that are in there. So pretty amazing that they're still kind of pushing all of the physical release stuff. And also, like, you know, the Turbo Duo version, that's kind of neat.
Yeah. It's so fascinating what that company has been doing for, like, retro game collections, like just putting out the actual, you know, like, TurboGrafx card and things like that. It's fascinating to me. I love it though. I love it. I think limited run kind of gets the secret sauce about, you know, as the industry is moving to things like Game Pass and digital stuff, you know, are physical games going to have a place moving forward? And limited runs definitely sees, like, oh, we definitely see where, like, the, you know, the pendulum swinging really hard the other way. It's not just a physical release, but collectibles, you know, that sort of physical release is really where there's, you know, stuff to be made still. And I think they're doing a very good job of that, to be honest. SG100 Matt kind of makes the comparison. Limited run games is the arcade one up of consoles. And I get that comparison. I do. Mike Deft in chat says limited run should drop the limited though. then they just be run. They could be loading ready run. I think that's already a thing, though.
It's not necessarily the limited, you know, scope of titles, but, you know, they're limited releases. I don't think that they're necessarily publishing, you know, hundreds of thousands of copies of these.
Mm-hmm. And Orange Rye points out the great thing about the Turbo Duo release is that it's 100% official. It will have the TurboGrafx-16 branding on it. It helps that the game and the console are owned by the same company now. Yeah, that's true. And don't forget, they had that Turbo Mini not that long ago that was pretty damn well received, actually. So I enjoyed mine, that's for sure. So, all right. Anyway, one more story for you guys tonight. And I love it because it's about a toaster. That's right. There is an official Destiny toaster on the way out. As if an Xbox fridge wasn't. Why not? Loki, why not? Did I not just talk about video game collectibles?
It is.
That's where things are going.
It is your destiny to make some toast.
That every day for me. Anyway, so yes, you will now soon be able to get a Destiny toaster. It is going to cost you $85. That's more expensive than a Hello Kitty toaster when they had them at Target. Just pointing that out. You can pre-order the toaster from the Bungie store, and it will ship at some point between December and January 2022. What about my holiday gift? Well, there went that. All right, whatever. Anyway, you also get the Burnt Edges emblem in Destiny 2. So if the toaster wasn't enough, you get a little in-game thing, the Burnt Edges emblem, which is really fucking funny. Now, Loki, here's the part to be less cynical about, the cool part.
Yeah.
It is part of a charity event. So 10% of the purchase price goes to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. So, all right, we have that. So
10%. Can they do a little bit more?
How about 30%? All right. Anyway,
exactly.
This is not the first fundraiser that Bungie and Destiny has done. The Destiny community raised over $800,000 for St. Jude back in June. So basically, Bungie offered, we'll make a toaster if you hit the target of $777,000, 777.7s all across the board. If you hit 7777, which why they didn't do 7 7s and they did 8 7s, I'm not going to understand, but that's all right. They raised a lot of good money, so that's good. And Mungie's making good on their promise, I guess, even if it's a little bit weird. Anyone in chat going to be purchasing the Destiny thing? No one special, 77 in chat says, what? No Destiny toilet paper, Destiny doll, Destiny flamethrower, etc. What do you think this is? Spaceballs?
It does sound like Spaceballs. Yeah.
It does sound like Spaceballs. And actually, I think there is other Destiny merchandise out there. You joke about Destiny doll. They've got Funko
Destiny
Pops. I guarantee it. Yeah, exactly.
Destiny the lunchbox. It's Destiny the fruit, or was it yogurt?
SSG 100 Matt makes a good point, though. You know what Destiny doesn't have is a fanny pack like VOG. That's right. Thank you for that plug once again. For our updated shop over at vognetwork.com/shop. That's right, Destiny. You don't get a fanny pack. I love it. All right. Mike Def says there's a Destiny cookbook. Really? I did not know that was a thing. All right. It is time to go to the listener roundtable, where I believe Dark Sakura indicated we have an empty mailbag this week. So she's going to taunt us with churros instead on her webcam.
Yeah. Husband brought me dinner.
But if you would like to, where do you get dinner that comes with churros? Hold up.
Del Taco.
They have churros? Really? I usually try not to get dessert at fast food because I already got fast food. But shit, I might have to break it for that. I love churros. Anyway.
Jack in the Box has churros, too.
Really?
I needed. It was a need
I
today.
Get, I,
it was a
I
need.
Understand. I understand. We all... There's been days where it's like, I need, what are like other favorite dessert things? Oh, Cheesecake Factory.
Frozen custard.
Oh, see, I don't really get that as much. I eat frozen yogurt.
So we had a Rita's nearby that sells frozen custard, and it was delicious, and then they closed their store.
Yeah.
Because that's what happens when I find something that I like. We stop selling it or close it down. It's like, oh, wait, Loki likes it. Quick, shut the doors.
Isn't that fried chicken place you like that used to be near the studio? Like, didn't that come
yeah,
back
coming
somewhere?
Back. It is coming. It came back in a bunch of places. So I did order a bunch of that the other day. And I also ordered a bunch of the actual powder that they put on it from them because you can buy that. And then I've been sprinkling that on other chicken things. But unfortunately, I guess the powder actually is it's good by itself, but it really got to have their baked chicken to go with it. It you kind of need both to be the cracked chicken, so... we'll have to order some more of that this week.
Okay. Anyway, I was going to plug the mailbag at least, even if it was empty. Even if Dark Sakura found churros in it, which is always a pleasant surprise, you can always email us, participate@orangeloungeradio.com if you want to send us an email in a future week. I will get to Discord in a minute, but we do have some roundtable stuff coming from chat, so let's get to it. No One Special 77 in chat says, roundtable question. Aside from Magic the Gatherings and Diablo 1 and 2, what games do you know of and would recommend that can be played solely with the left hand? Too long didn't read version. Since January 23rd, 2021, I can no longer use my right arm. Oh my gosh, I'm sorry to hear that. That explains why you haven't been around in a while. Well, I hope you're feeling okay. I'm really sorry to hear that. So what gaming I can do is limited. Ooh, that's a good question. I don't know. Dark Sakura, I know there was a period of time where you were having a lot of wrist. You'd had surgery on your wrist, and so you were kind of doing some one-handed gaming. Is there any – I'm sorry to interrupt churro time, but is there any advice from your experience in that? Because, I mean, I haven't
my
been –
My issue was completely different. I could still use my thumb.
I know, but weren't you still one-hand – oh, you were using your thumb. Okay, all right. I thought
that's
you were one-hand
gaming.
That's when
I started gaming. Using – hold on, I'll put it up on – on chat. This is what I use. I game with this too.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the old Microsoft thumb trackball mice that they don't make anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But the only thing that I could think of is if there's any mobility with the right arm at all, like any at all, then maybe a top trackball would be something that could be used. If not, then they do make those one-handed RPG controllers.
Yes.
Because I right after my surgery, I was playing Blue Dragon with that.
Not to toot my own horn or anything, but if you remap the action button in your favorite NES emulator, Pixel Poops number 2 is quite playable with one hand because it's just directional and one button. So there you go.
And I was go ahead, Jamie.
On top of that, as we've told No One Special in a while back, there's also plenty of Switch controls now where you can use head movement or another hand for controlling a game with a single directional switch.
Mm-hmm.
So there's tons of adaptive controllers out there from multiple places. Max, well before PCs had it, actually had plenty of integrated accessibility options for various things. So,
well, and that's kind of the direction I have not been in that situation where I only have the one hand for gaming, so it's hard because I don't really have experience. But my brain was kind of going to the good news is that, you know, more and more games have been aware of accessibility. And so sometimes it's just about remapping the games that you want to play. But you might have to rethink. You might have to rethink where you're playing them, because I'm thinking of things like, okay, well, PlayStation 4 and 5 have it baked into the OS. You can change buttons for any game. So you can change it around to basically make, you know, just about anything work. You just might have to remap the buttons, and you can do that within the actual OS. But since I know No One Special from, you know, having been a longtime listener, I know that No One Special pretty much games like on PC. I think the mouse thing is a great suggestion because No One Special is saying there's virtually no mobility in the arm, which, again, sorry to hear that. But I still think that mouse suggestion about there are games that are completely playable with the mouse. I know you like trading card games. So I would think of other, you know, very mouse focused games like Hearthstone. I would think even things like Civilization, you can play almost completely with the mouse, because I know when I've played that game, I've almost played that exclusively with the mouse. A lot of things that were developed with the PC in mind have really taken advantage of the mouse. You might have to get a different mouse, a lefty mouse, but that's pretty common. So there's that shouldn't be too much of a challenge.
With a simple web search, I found one-handed controllers, among them being a single-handed controller for Switch I think it's one for Switch, or I have to double check it, but I mean, they exist. You just have to look them up.
Yeah. And Pod Culture in chat says Adam's friend Justin, that was sometimes on Pod Culture, is also limited to one arm. I'll have to check with what he games with. So I do love the paying it forward there in chat to get some suggestions from other people who may be going through something similar in that situation. So
I just found a mini Ring Bluetooth controller that you play with one hand.
Oh.
One-handed Bluetooth wireless controller.
Uh-huh.
There's the PS1 ones that you can use an adapter with. There's the Banggood PSD D1 one-handed game pad Bluetooth. There is the Logitech Adaptive Game Kit for Xbox controller. There is one that uses rings. There is also Hori makes what's called the Tactical Assault Commander Pro for Xbox One, which, of course, then would work on a PC. But yeah, there's a number of controllers out there. ASCII stick, for Super Famicom, if you want to get into your retro games. So they're out there.
All right.
I found a one-handed PS4 controller.
Oh.
So yeah, they're out there.
It's nice to know at least that there is the more and more accessibility, you know, and options are out there, because I feel like if we'd done a search even 10 years ago, there wouldn't be as many options. I don't know if to
we
say
we would have found the RPG controllers.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they were practically giving those away. I have one for like PlayStation and for Dreamcast.
Okay. Thank you all for the feedback on that question. Let me get to some of the comments left in our Discord over at vognetwork.com/discord throughout the week. Dungeon Buster had kind of highlighted a story for us that had to do with EA loot boxes, pulling the quote saying, "If you do not buy the pack, you will see the previewed pack remains in the store where it is now on a refresh timer. The timer has to expire before you can preview another pack of the same type. In one example given by EA, a pack expired in 20 hours and 35 minutes." So this has to do with EA letting you see what is in FIFA loot boxes before you buy them. I think I was reading a story on this somewhere else. It's not all the loot boxes, but it's like limited to certain types or whatever. But it is interesting. I think the EA has been pressured to go this direction. It feels like this took forever for this to happen. So I'm kind of not surprised to see this happening, but I'm definitely glad at least we have a little more knowledge now on, you know, what exactly are you going to be buying? It takes some of the gambling notion out of it, even if it is still randomized, so to speak. So there is that. All right. I didn't know this. 13X Forever in chat, in Discord said, apparently Sega is doing a physical Sonic card game, linking us to a tweet from the official Sega account at Sega saying, take your sneakers to the tabletop with a brand new game from Steamforge available to pre-order now, and giving links to a Sonic card game. Gotta play fast, right? Ooh. I remember reading about this story, too, so thank you for highlighting for this, Corke, in our Discord chat. It has to do with Analog and those pocket, like that Game Boy Color thing that they were making. They are going to be making more of them, and you might remember that they had some real issues with bots and, you know, sniping all the good stuff and all that. They have also talked about Analog, that they're going to do robust bot protection. So Pocket had sold out almost instantly. This is a $200 device that plays Neo Geo Pocket Color, Atari Lynx, Sega Game Gear, and multiple generations of Game Boy Game Boy titles, which would I would assume include Color. But nobody could get one, it seems, because all the scalpers got them. So that's great that it's coming back, because I think a lot of people were like, why won't they make more? Well, good news, everyone, they're going to make more. I'm going to guess maybe some of the supply and demand supply issues, mainly with COVID, probably made this really hard for a while. So I'm glad to see it's coming back. So there is that. All right. If you have some comments throughout the week, vognetwork.com/discord is the place to leave those comments. And of course, you can always send us an email as well. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com. Let me check in with Loki and see if we have any last minute stories.
Yeah, so I was going to talk about there was a leak showing a brand new Lego Mario set that's a massive Bowser airship. So I'm assuming I know where this is going to be coming from, that this is going to be an announcement that's going to happen next weekend because they're doing their first ever LegoCon, which is kind of like this virtual convention, and they're supposed to be announcing more Lego Mario sets there. So my guess is that leaked out somewhere. But I guess we'll see it then. But yeah, it looks pretty cool. It's got over 1,000 pieces in it, and it's got a Kamek in there, and yeah, the ship is pretty large as well. So,
well, you know what though, sometimes things leak from companies before big conventions and they still don't materialize, i.e. the Simpsons arcade 1-up cabinet. What the hell happened there? Like,
I want an airship the size of the USS flag, though. The G.I. Joe playset.
Oh, yeah.
I love that.
Well,
I know people who have them, the flag.
The closest you can get to that, I mean, would be, it's not there. Well, I mean, it's the Marvel Avengers airship that they had was pretty large. But it was micro scale. I want a minifig scale one, but that would be like the size of my kitchen table. So.
Yeah. Well, the flag would be the size of your kitchen table, so.
True, yeah.
Yeah. Man, I miss when they made toy sets that big.
Yeah.
All right. Any other last minute stories?
No, that's all I had.
All right. Well, I think we're it's a little shorter tonight, but that's all right. We're going to get to some final thoughts. It's kind of like you had those E3 announcements and then, okay, everybody's taking a break from news because everything kind of came out at once. But I'm sure we'll start to see more and more pick up in the coming weeks. So, of course, before we get to the final thoughts, I do want to thank everybody out there for listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Thank you for participating with our show. Your support really means a lot to us. If you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, please tell a friend or two. Help us spread the word because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. But but if the voices aren't here to put out on air, then we're missing the voices. So, yeah, tell a friend or two about the show. A nice 5-star review on a site like iTunes goes a real long way, or wherever it is you found this podcast. Also, the hosting on Twitch for VOG Network is huge. I really thank everybody that does that. Thank you. Appreciate all that support. And even if you're just here listening to the podcast feed Monday morning at work, you know what? I appreciate you being here too. We all do. And thank you for being a part of the show. Email us or tweet us sometimes so we know you're out there, or join the Discord or something like that. I don't know. Anyway, that's all I can think of. Another plug for the shop that was updated with lots and lots of good stuff this week, including a fanny pack. VogNetwork.com. It's the must-have VOG item of the year, the fanny pack. VogNetwork.com/shop for that.
I'll have to put up a few others.
Well, yeah, and we are kind of watching what sells and what doesn't, because we're only allowed to list, I think, 25 things at a time. So, like, those.
Oh,
I think,
are we?
Yeah. So we gotta. It can't go too buck wild, but like, I think the masks are now gone because they weren't very good, unfortunately. So that is. But the mugs are great. The shirts are great. Like, everything else that's come from that store has been really good. So
I put some more tank tops up instead of like just regular t-shirts, because. Tank tops,
yeah,
you know,
for sure. Yeah.
But I thought that people might like want a notebook or something. So, and the stickers are actually really good quality. I ordered some of my own stickers, and like, I mean, I can show you for those on in chat right now, I can show an example of just like how good the printing is on them. So. I mean, I'll hide that so I'm not doing like cross promotion, but I mean, they're really nice and thick, good quality sticker.
You're allowed to promote your own stream on OLR.
Okay, well,
Jamie.
Then look.
Come on.
Well, I just don't want to, you know, ruffle any feathers.
You're fine.
Oh my God, my feathers are so ruffled.
Okay.
Well,
all right.
But anyway, but as you can see, they're really thick and they're the cutout style ones. So it's like they have the little pull up pieces.
Oh, so, I didn't know that. That's cool.
So, yeah. So if you have any like open space, like of a certain gap, then it'll be hollow in the center.
It's nice.
Yeah. They're really good quality stickers. I think they're the kinds that you can put on like water bottles.
All right. Awesome. I was trying to load up. I may not have it right away because the Twitch panel doesn't show me those purchases. I only see that when I'm logged into Streamlabs, which I didn't have the foresight to do tonight. So I may not be able to thank you all tonight, but I'll try to do that next week. Like, thank everybody who's checked out some. I have seen it does scroll along the bottom. If you buy it during OLR, it actually scrolls along the bottom and shows that you did that. So thank you for that, everybody that is supporting so far. Again, you don't have to, but... you know, you guys do ask, can I get an OLR shirt? So it's only been like 19 years, but yes, you may. You may have an OLR shirt. No, we did have others, but, you know, this is the first, like, big one that we've done that's print on demand, too, which is really nice. So.
Oh, and I wanted just to kind of do something a little bit different, because I don't think we actually have an official Orange Lounge Radio logo, which we need to get on, other than that thing.
I don't really consider that, because that was made by my ex that I haven't talked to in like how many years. I like it.
I'm
but
still mad
time,
at him for the editing on those pictures. Okay.
We're going to talk about that during the episode one stream this week. Okay. So, was he on that episode? Shit, he might have been. God, I hope I don't have to hear him. All right. No, I'm not that bitter.
But I was thinking of. You know, just like maybe the Sega font was fun. So I did that. And then I was kind of influenced by that whole kind of 80s retro thing going around right now. So I did one for VOG that way.
Yeah. I know Bobby was really thrilled with that VOG Network logo. And I like it too. I wasn't expecting that. So I would kind of file that in the things I didn't know I needed until I saw it, Ben. So congrats.
I might have to. Well, and I'll tell you actually what started that was the design was my branding for mine, because mine's all like neon and everything. And I was like, I want to do something for VOG, but I want it to look different. And I think I succeeded.
SSJ 100 Matt in chat says, kind of want that album art thing so I can get it signed from y'all. Then again, that sounds weird getting something signed by friends. Oh, that's really sweet that you would want something like that. So I'd be happy to sign anything, anytime.
It's a little pricey though, isn't it? The canvas one? I put it up as a whim, and gosh, if y'all like it, then I'll keep it up.
Yeah. All right.
It's funny in chat, no one special saying anyone born on the day OLR started is now college age. Funny you should say that. I was listening to a couple of folks, their podcast actually, and they were talking about how they got started kind of in making videos on YouTube and stuff. And they were talking about, oh yeah, you know, we used to watch all these videos and stuff when we were like 7 and this, you know, date. I'm like, oh my God, like,
I know.
We started recording
like,
then.
Some of my streamer friends, I'm just like, y'all are babies.
It's really one of the, since we had we're only at 2 hours for the show, I'm going to allow super tangent train tonight. Because I didn't have YouTube when I was a teenager, but I got into public access. You guys know this. I actually had like a sketch comedy show I did with a friend of mine. Everybody always asks, can we see the tapes? Can we see the tape? Can we do the high spectrum airing as a channel point reward? And the answer is no. And it's not because I don't want to, although it is also because I don't want to, but I literally don't know where the tapes are. They are tapes. They're that old. They're on VHS somewhere. I don't even know how I have to send them to Bobby to play because I don't even have it. But if you think episode 1 is aged poorly, you should see my show from 1996. Okay, that's aged really poorly.
If you can get me a taped based camcorder or something, mm-hmm. I can rip it easily. I've got the software for it.
I literally don't have the taste. I would have to reach out to my former co-host, and she lives in SoCal now. We're cordial. She was the world to me when I was in high school and those earlier years. But we've just, you know, life sometimes takes you in separate directions. And, you know, she's raising her family in Southern California. But we do keep in touch on Instagram. So I see her kids growing up on my Instagram feed. So there is that. She has twins, actually. So, yeah. But anyway, so SSJ 100 Matt says, Travis has those tapes. Travis does not have those tapes. What Travis has or had, so he used to play this on Understation Live all the time. He did it. What he played on his show was a lot like the public access show, but that whole thing with like the Onyx, where I was playing like a Jewel type character, but I was Onyx, get it? Haha. And other, because Shannon, who I used to do the show with back in the day, her and I went to the same college and we were in the same summer school class and we were in the same group to make this project. So there was a lot of influence from what we had done on our public access show that was in this project. So basically that whole thing that was, I don't even remember what the hell it was now. You guys have seen it more than I have. But I think, oh, was that the whole, it's Holanda or something like that. Like we did a, it's a whole talk show thing. And, It was very similar to what would have been on the sketch comedy show that we did on public access. So that is kind of what it is. But technically, that tape is not the public access show. That is the college project, because he probably also has the Spice Girls music video that we did. Because we had two big projects in the summer class. One was to make a documentary. That's what it was, documentary, and we made a funny one. And then the other was to make a music video, and he has that. But he does not have my old, he's been trying to find him. But if Shannon doesn't have the tapes, then they're gone. I don't know where they are, because Roseville doesn't even have public access anymore. They might have folded it into the government access channel there. So they might have the tapes in an archive somewhere, but I would be very surprised. I'd be very, very surprised. So
we'll just have to use the Freedom of Information Act to find it.
In hell. No, that show is not getting out. SSJ 100 Matt says, if it's PBS. No, different. Public access and PBS are very different. PBS is like the BBC of the U.S. It's the government-funded channel that's in every market. Public access is local television. So I had this show, but only people in the Sacramento suburb of Roseville could see it because it was on Roseville Public Access.
So what?
City, I think that if you go, there's like a City of Roseville TV, and it's the government access one. But there's, I think, a request thing through them. So
interesting. I could look into it, but so Channel 8 was public access and Channel 11 was government access. So
you were Wayne's World.
I'm not. Yes. Wayne's World actually is not that far off. I mean, of the concept, right? Because Wayne's World was a riff on public access shows. It really was. But I think the like you kind of said, the government access, they were all about, they air city council meetings. They air, government at work stuff. It's C-SPAN for local stuff. That's what they do. So 11 and 8 didn't really cross paths ever. But I'm thinking if they closed 8, because they had to have because of YouTube, anything they had, I would imagine, folded into 11. But yeah, no one special hit the nail on the head here. Public access channels were the pre-internet version of Twitch or YouTube. That's exactly it. So I wasn't on YouTube, but I did public access instead. And that was interesting, you know, because it was on TV. And so there'd be people that I would meet at Rocky Horror that would be like, I saw you on TV like 2 years ago. Your show is weird. I'm like, yeah, it is. It was. So anyway, all right. That was a walk down memory lane. Any other tangents we want to do before we close up shop tonight?
I'm just going to have some fun with Debbie Delight after the show.
Good times. Good times.
You don't have to raid me if you don't want to, but I'll be there.
All right. Over at Dark Sakura OLR. So
underscore
OLR. Underscore OLR. Underscore, the underscore is very important. Okay, that's going to do it for the show tonight. Thank you guys so much for watching us. I appreciate that. That's it. I think I already said all the closing stuff, and then we got into the tangents. Oh, final thoughts. I didn't really properly collect final thoughts. So, Loki, why don't we start with you? Your final thought tonight.
Final thought is, if you haven't yet, go watch my newest video that I have on my YouTube channel, which is under user LogioLR, and go leave it a like. Subscribe if you haven't.
My final thought is it's a big week next week. My birthday is on the weekend. I'm looking forward to that and actually getting to do something this year. Also OLR's birthday. So we'll get into it a little more next week, which will be kind of like our official 19th year celebration, I suppose. But just, you know, big thanks. You guys just showing up, it means a lot. And I just really thank you guys for being here. Whether you've been here for 19 minutes or you've been here for all 19 years, you're awesome. And thank you so much for being a part of it. Last but not least, Dark Sakura.
Just two little things, not to be a downer, but this is the first Father's Day I've spent since my dad died. So if I'm in a mood, that's why. Mm-hmm. And second of all, the matchmaking in Dead by Daylight is fucking broken as fuck. And I'm getting sick of the toxic little campers. That's all.
I want that MMR thing back. It was so much better.
Right? The MMR was beautiful.
Yeah, I hope that comes back.
Oh, and I also have a TikTok now where you can hear me complain about being a survivor on a bot-controlled survivor game.
How do you start a TikTok? I'm on the TikTok, and I don't know how to use it.
Well, I just uploaded my own videos. I recorded a video on my phone of Midna and a little outside cat. And I just kind of played around with the video. I uploaded the video and then added some effects to it, and boom, I had a ticky-tacky.
I have a tic-tac. I don't remember if I'm Rob Roberts or Mr. Rob Roberts. I'm one of the two. And all I have is a video from Rocky Horror back in like 2019 where I dressed up. My Halloween costume was a PG&E executive. And so I was walking around in a suit and tie holding a power cord because the joke was I turned off all the power. Anyway, and that was my one TikTok. But I noticed like hundreds of people viewed it. And I'm like, why? This is stupid. So it is interesting.
Like my funniest one though says only 4 people looked at it, but I'm sure I've linked it to more people than that. So
maybe it just takes a while.
I also though took one of my clips from Playing Dead by Daylight, and I put it to music with an intro from Justin playing in Final Cut Pro, and it's Amanda Young, How to Catch a Husband, and it's her putting David on a hook.
Love that. All right, that's gonna do it.
Have a good week, everybody. We'll see you next time here at Orange Lounge Radio. Have a great week. We'll see you next week for our 19th birthday, and hopefully some of you on Wednesday as well for the Super Fun Cringe Episode 1 listen through. So happy gaming. Have fun. Don't be one of those jerks online. Be nice. Bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vog Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.